Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Very simple, very plain message this morning, but something that I really feel in my heart. And let's read it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless. Everybody said bless.
Bless.
And curse not. Everybody said curse not. And I want to just minister this morning. I've ministered from this scripture before. I want to do it again this morning. I just want to entitle this, Bless and Curse Not.
All right. Amen.
Bless and Curse Not. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Anoint my voice today, Lord, to minister your word. Give us ears to hear the word of God. Give us courage to obey the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank God. Thank God. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And you know, I'm not going to preach like Pastor preaches. Those days, I think, are behind me. So I'm just going to talk to us here this morning.
Amen.
And I hope that you have ears to hear talking. Amen. Well, you know, it's in the nature of all mankind to retaliate when troubles come. And there are times that we do need to retaliate. And it's appropriate. We're seeing a war that's taking place right now, and it's very, very horrible situation. But when it comes to the scriptures, and some of this is going to be hard because it's hard to do, not because it's a hard message, but because it's hard to do. The word curse here, curse, bless and curse not, the word curse here means to doom. Amen. Now that's pretty powerful when you think about that. It means to doom. And we know that no one of us have the power to doom someone in a real sense, but we do have the power to make them believe that they are cursed. We have that power by the words that we can say and putting others down. And Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. I've got a lot of scripture here this morning. And so I want to just warn you ahead of time. Get your Bible. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Find it in the Word. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And our thoughts and our thinking are motivated and molded by experiences in life, but they are also motivated and shaped by what other people say to us. A good example would be 1 Samuel 25 and 25. And this is a wife of a man by the name of Nabal. And she was telling David, she said, Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. That's the man of the devil. Even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord, whom thou didst send. And so when you look at that, somebody convinced this young man, Nabal, that he was cursed to be stupid, and that he was locked into this way of thinking about himself. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the name Nabal actually means stupid. Now think about that. Who in their right mind would name their boy stupid? It's time to get up in the morning, stupid. Time for breakfast, stupid. Now we laughed this morning about it, but if you were that young man, you wouldn't think that it was so funny. I'm sure at school he got razzed about that. Hey, stupid, how'd you do on that test? You know, and after a while, he got to thinking, I'm stupid.
Yes.
I'm not any good because nobody thinks I'm any good.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got power this morning in the words that come out of our mouth.
Yes, sir. That's true. That's right.
Amen. Power to bless or power to curse.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And what we do, we want to tell others around us the things that are blessing. Amen. And what do we want to tell others around us? How do we feel about them, really? Amen. What we say to others will make a huge difference in their life.
That's right.
Amen. Because God's way is the right way.
That's right.
Many today are cursing. Many today are cursing others. Putting down. Because cursing is the easy way. It's the easy way because it's the way of the flesh. And put downs are the way of the flesh to destroy an enemy. You can see it on your job, maybe. Somebody will come along and put you down because they want your position. Somebody will say things behind your back or say things to your face. We had a young man that used to come and he was working on a job. And his supervisor basically told him he was stupid and that he needed to quit his job and go somewhere else. And this went on for day after day after day. And thankfully, he came to me and he said, what should I do? And I said, you just pray and just understand that you are somebody in God and God's going to work this all out, but do not quit your job. And he didn't quit his job, and the person that was cursing him got fired. Amen. And he's still working on that job today, as far as I know. Praise God. And as Christians, as apostolic Christians, baptized in his name, forgiven of our sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, praise God. We really don't have the right to destroy others, but we have been called to help others. We have been called to help and to bless. Bless and curse not. Amen. Why would we want to hurt others when God's been so good to us? Amen. Has God been good to you this morning? Has God blessed you this morning? Praise the Lord. I can see the Lord has blessed the Goebbels this morning. I didn't see the little one. What a precious little baby.
Yes.
How old is she?
3 months.
3 months. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap. Praise God. Praise God. We was at the wedding yesterday, and some of those little girls coming up there with their wedding dresses on, the little ones. And the Brixner's little girl, Emily, she was marching up there with her little dress and her little veil and everything. And she was really feeling good about herself. And I told her dad, because we've been out there and we know them a little bit, and I said, she is so cute. But I said, underneath that dress, there's an ornery girl right there. And he just laughed and he said, you're absolutely right. Praise God. God's been so good to us. He washed our sins away in baptism.
Yes. Yes.
Filled us with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now think about that this morning. For God to fill someone with the Holy Ghost. I've seen the Lord fill people with the Holy Ghost before we baptized them. They didn't have their sins washed away, but God filled them with His Spirit. And then, of course, they got baptized and their sins were washed away. Amen. How did God think about that? I tell you, God's a merciful God. God's a loving God. Amen. God cares about people. It doesn't matter who it is. Amen. Well, praise God. And so if God blesses like that, why shouldn't we bless like that? You don't have to be perfect for me to love you. You don't have to be perfect for me to say something good about you. Praise the Lord, because the Lord blesses.
Yes.
The Lord keeps his hand upon us every single day. Amen. He's been so good to us. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. And let's get into some scripture. I want to kind of go through a story here in just a moment. And I promise I won't be long, but I just feel this in my heart this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. But I say unto you, now this is hard. Just brace yourself, all right? Because here it comes. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Don't we have a wonderful God today?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Many think that the blessings of this life are an example of God's favor upon us, but that's not really the case. The sun is shining this morning. Thank God the sun is shining.
Right.
Had a beautiful day yesterday. You know who gave us that beautiful day? God gave us that beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He gave us the sun, but outside the doors of this church, there are all kinds of sin that has taken place. There is rebellion that's taking place. There's witchcraft that's taking place. I mean, we could go on and on this morning, but God goes ahead and lets the sun shine down upon them. Just like he's allowing the sun to shine down upon you and I. What a wonderful God. What a marvelous God that we serve this morning. Amen. Now think about this. He goes on and he says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? And so what he's basically saying is we're not developing here a mutual admiration society. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'll go up and shake Brother Charlie's hand and say, I appreciate you. And he says back to me, well, I appreciate that. And I'll say back to him, well, I appreciate that appreciation. And he'll say, well, I appreciate that too. We're not a mutual admiration society here this morning, where we have an obligation to say, appreciate you, love you. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be, praise God. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Even the publicans do so, or the tax collectors, or if we could make it modern, the politicians. They shake each other's hands. They greet one another, but they do it for other reasons. And then they love their children. The most wicked love their children. Amen. They try to bless their children. He said, well, if that's the way you do things, and it's only limited to your circle of influence, he said, what are you doing that's special? He said, be therefore perfect. And we could say this morning that word perfect means mature. If you're going to be mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, he is perfect. None of us can become perfect, but we can become mature.
Yes.
And to become mature, amen, we've got to think about, it's not about me, it's about others.
Right.
Somebody not from here, but someone far away texted me and said, how do you deal with the disappointments of life? How do you deal with situations that come along and are not good? And I texted back, and I thought in my mind, it's not about you, it's about others. And you've got to quit thinking about yourself. You've got to quit thinking about how you feel. Because we're living in a generation that's feely and touchy. A generation of snowflakes, praise God. A generation that gets offended by this, that, and the other. You know what? It's time to grow up.
Yep.
Well, praise the Lord. It's time to grow up, and it's time to realize that it's not about how I feel, it's about the work of God in general. And it's not just the work of God, it's people. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. And so I've got a story that is in the scripture here this morning, Numbers chapter 22. And if you'll turn there with me, I'm not going to go fast here this morning. And I want to start with verse 1. Praise God. And I'm going to go through a couple chapters here. So don't anybody worry, all right? We're not going to spend a long, long time here this morning. But I do have a message for someone here today. And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plain of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, everybody said Balak. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab were distressed because of the children of Israel. Praise God. I've got some help this morning. Praise the Lord. I love to hear help this morning. Don't y'all worry, sis, don't worry about her. We love those little squirrels. Moab said to the children, unto the elders of Moab, or Midian rather, now this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam. Everybody said Balaam.
Balaam.
Balaam, the son of Beor. Now, Balaam was a prophet, and he was, as they called in those days, a seer. And he could see things with his eyes open, and he could see visions of the Lord, and he could hear the voice of the Lord. And he sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And so the first six verses here of chapter 22 sets the stage for the whole story. And Balak saw that the children of Israel were more and mightier than him. The Egyptians were the same way. They looked at Israel and they said, they are more and mightier than we are. Let's deal with them wisely. Well, Balak knew that he couldn't defeat Israel, but he knew that if he could get them cursed, if there could be a curse that was placed upon them, not a blessing, but a curse, then he would have an opportunity. Did you know the devil realizes how powerful we are this morning?
Yeah, yes, he does.
Now, you may be looking around and saying, well, I see this and that and the other. I'm not going to talk about things that are going on right now, but I want you to know this church is a powerful church.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God is in the midst of the church.
Right.
And there are people here this morning that love God. And there are people here this morning that love the church. That means we have compassion and we have love one for another. Praise God. As Pastor has been talking about unity, and it's so very, very important. And Balak was actually being inspired by the devil. And he wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Now let's go to verse 7 and let's see how he works. And let's see how he does his nasty work. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards. Everybody said rewards. Rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Amen. So they brought rewards. And that's the first trick of the enemy, to bring division and to bring a curse upon the people of God. There's going to be a reward. Amen. And I'm going to give you some things. You know, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He never tells the truth. I remember pastoring in New Bedford, Massachusetts many, many years ago. And we had a young man, his name was Gilly. And I think his last name was Relendez. And we were teaching him a Bible study. And he never really came in and gave his life to God, but he gave me a story. And he was a guitar player, and a good guitar player, but he wanted to be a rock star. This is a true story. And so he started praying, if you want to call it praying, he started praying to the devil and said, I'll sell my soul to be a rock star. And he said as he would drive down the road, as he would go through the day, he would say, I'll sell my soul to be a rock star. And as he prayed that, he got better and better on the guitar. And he said one day he was sleeping at his home and he had a dream. And he was going down the road towards the church. And he stopped at a stop sign, and all of a sudden there were two motorcycles pulled up, one on each side of him. And there were demons on the motorcycle. And he said all of a sudden his car and the motorcycle started going backwards. And they started going backwards so fast that it was a blur that was going past him. And when he stopped, there was a door. And the door had a stairway that led downward into darkness. And he got out of his car and he went through the door and went down the stairs. And as he got to the bottom of the stairs, there was a throne there. And I'm just repeating what he described to me. And he said there were hands on the armrest, and he said the fingers were long. And he said, a voice spoke out of the darkness and said, so you want to be a rock star, huh? He said, I think we can do that. And he got so frightened that he began to call upon the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the dream was over. But before the dream was over, the devil spoke again to him and said, I'll be back in a year and I'll give you another chance. And he said, 1 year to the day he was sleeping. And all of a sudden he had a dream, and he pulled up to a stop sign, and two demons pulled up on motorcycles. And as he started going backwards, he called on the name of the Lord, and the dream was over. I want you to know the devil is real, and the devil wants to take you down the slippery slope to hell. Well, praise God. And he says, I'm going to give you something for this. I'm going to bless you with something. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you blessings. But you've got to remember, the devil is a liar. You've got to get that down deep in your heart. Verse 7, they brought the rewards of divination. And verse 8, he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord speaketh to me, and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? I can almost hear the tone of God's voice. What are you doing, son? What were you thinking? Verse 10, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me then, peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And so he tells the Lord this. Amen. He was going to, he had something in his, something positive here, and that was that he went to the Lord and he prayed about it.
Amen.
Now, folks, if you ever get to a place where you think, you know what, I'm just going to tell that person off. I'm just going to curse them. I'm just going to say evil things about them. I'm going to let words come out of my mouth that I'm going to regret later. You know what? The first thing you got to do is you need to pray about it.
Yes,
that's
right.
But I'm going to tell you here this morning what the Lord's going to answer your prayer. So you can pray about it if you want to, but if you don't, it's going to be the same answer. And the same answer is in verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Doesn't that sound great?
Amen.
That's the balm of Gilead right there. That's a refreshing cold drink of water on a hot summer day. Praise God. They are blessed. Amen. If you look to your left and you look to your right this morning, you're looking at people that are blessed. Well, praise God. We are blessed here this morning. God has blessed us so very, very richly. Balak rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. That was a wise, wise decision. He should have just left it right there. I'm not coming to you. I'm not talking to you. Amen. There is times when the devil will use people. And what you've got to do is just not even talk to them. That's scriptural. Amen.
Yeah.
You just don't even talk to them because they don't have anything good that's going to come out of their mouth.
Right.
They've got their mind made up already that they're right and that everybody else is wrong.
Right.
But you know what? Every time that I thought I was right, I was usually wrong.
Right.
Well, smile just a little bit this morning. You'll be okay. Some of you all need to give me a couple of Baptist nods here this morning.
Amen.
Well, praise God. God said, they're blessed, don't curse them. Now let's read on down. Balaam rose up in the morning and said to them, the Lord, I already read that. Verse 14, the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. You know, the devil doesn't give up easily. He doesn't give up easily because verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Oh my. You're gonna have a visit. You're a great person. I used to go to Colorado Springs Church for about a year and 9 months. We had a wonderful time, and the church was in revival, and people were praying through to the Holy Ghost, and good things were happening. And I had a man come to me, a man that had not been in the church for that long, came to me and he said, Brother Wurst, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, well, sure. And I could give you his name, but he's not there anymore. And he said, I got some problems about this place here. And it wasn't my first rodeo. And I knew what to say, and I said it. I said, well, brother, if you've got a problem with what's going on right here, I said, that man's the one you want to talk to right there. And I pointed to the pastor. He said, I just want you to come over to my house and let's have a cup of coffee and talk. And the Holy Ghost just moved on me and I felt a check in the Holy Ghost. And we didn't have the coffee and we didn't have the little talk. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, I was blessed to be in that church. And God blessed me to be in his kingdom. And the last thing in the world I would want to do is to destroy the blessing that God had put upon me.
Yeah.
Amen. They'll pat you on the back and say, you're a great person. Nobody's told me that anybody said that. But that's how the enemy works. He'll pat you on the back and say, oh, you know, a lot of people are thinking this. And then when you start to look at all these people, it's usually just that one person.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to do what I feel here this morning, and God will bless it. I know he will. Verse 15, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I promise thee great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. You know, he's just such a liar.
Yeah.
The enemy is just such a liar.
Right.
He is not going to bless you.
Right.
And there's no blessing that will come from cursing.
That's right.
It's a distorted view that the blessings of God are going to come by cursing. Amen. Did you know God's in control of his church?
Yes.
The problem comes when we try to control the church. Praise the Lord, but God is in control of his church.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. And if something isn't right, you just get on your knees and pray about it. Well, praise the Lord. And God is able. God is able. He knows what we need. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, verse 18, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came to Balaam that night. Now I can see a softening of his spirit here, and maybe a little bit of a willingness to go if God is in it. You know, that's where the enemy tries to get us. Well, God's in this. But God was not in it. Verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against him, because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. Now God told him to go, but now God's angry with him.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile that? Well, I'll tell you what, God will let you do some things that you want to do if you're persistent. Praise the Lord. He told Israel, he said, there's going to be a time that you want a king. And he said, I'm going to let you have what you want, but it's not the will of God.
Right.
And the king will do this and do that and do the other. And they said, well, we want what we want. And so they got what they wanted. And we saw a decline in the country because it no longer was a theocracy, but it was a monarchy.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Folks, we've got to have the will of God in our lives.
Amen.
The will of God.
Amen.
And the will of God will not include cursing.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about foul language, even though that's part of it. But I'm talking about putting others down. I'm talking about saying things that are not right about others.
Amen.
Amen. What we need to do is bless.
Bless.
Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, bless you.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's get in the spirit of this here this morning. And he said, for I will promote thee, verse 17, to honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest to me. Curse me, this people. And he would not go. And so God told him to go ahead and go, but don't say anything other than what I tell you to say. And so on the way, we know the story. Hopefully you've read this story before. On the way, the donkey that he's riding is going along, just plodding along, and he's riding his donkey, and all of a sudden there's an angel of the Lord in the pathway, a killing angel, an angel with a sword in his hand, because he's going to a place that he really shouldn't be going. And he couldn't see it because he was carnal. God did not reveal it to him, but the donkey saw it. Praise God. Donkeys can see things sometimes. And all of a sudden, he just turns aside and goes out into a field. I'm not going out there. That thing's going to kill me. I got enough sense. Amen. You think I'm a dumb donkey, but I'm not a dumb donkey. Maybe that's a good message to preach at some point. The dumb donkey. Amen. We need to get rid of some of our wisdom and get the mentality of a dumb donkey sometimes. Praise God. I see an angel. Let's take an exit off of this road. And Balaam got upset and started beating on his donkey. What in the world are you doing? Get back over there on that road. Poor old donkey. So he's going down the road a little bit further, and there's the angel again. And he's in a narrow place. And so the donkey says, I'm just going to try to get out of here. He rubs up against the rock, crushes the prophet's foot, crushes his ankle. And he starts beating on him again. You know, I'll tell you what, the things that bless you, you'll end up cursing them if you're not doing the will of God. Started beating on him again. Got that all straightened out, started down the road a little bit further, and the donkey just couldn't take it anymore, and he just laid down on the road. I'm not going another step. Praise God. Smart donkey. Thought he was dumb, but he was really smart. And so he starts beating on him again the third time, and all of a sudden the donkey just opens his mouth. Why are you treating me like this? Well, he should have been astonished. But he got into an argument with his donkey. Have I ever done this before to you? Well, no. Well, why do you think I'm doing this? And all of a sudden, the Lord opened up the prophet's eyes. Amen. Just because you prophesy didn't mean you're spiritual. But all of a sudden, God let him see. Praise God. Give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see, Lord. And he saw that angel in the way. And he saw that it was not a good situation. So he went on. Chapter 23. And we're going to close here in just a little bit. But I've got to do this. And Balaam said to Balak, here he gets to him. No, I'm sorry, I'm too far ahead. I want to go to verse 35. And when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went to meet him. This is chapter 22 and verse 36. He went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the corner of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. And Balak said to Balaam, did not I earnestly send to thee to call thee? Wherefore canst thou not come unto me? I am not able indeed to promote you to honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. He had something going for him there. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to that city. In verse 40, and Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent it to Balaam, to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into a high place, the high places of Baal, notice that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. So he's going to try to promote you to honor, make you feel good about yourself, and then he's going to let you see the utmost part of the people. He's going to let you see the church as a whole. He's going to let you see, you know, this congregation, another congregation, and he's going to let you see all of these things. He's going to let you see the utmost. And Balaam said to Balak, chapter 23 and verse 1, build here 7 altars, prepare me 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. And God met Balaam, thank God. And he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, so forth. And verse 5, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. He returned to him. He took up the parable in verse 7. And he said, come, curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse, verse 8, whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the numbers of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Praise God. What a wonderful word that was. Who can count the dust of Jacob? Praise God. Who can count the number of the people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. God's a good God. When we look at the kingdom of God as a whole, amen, God's a good God. God's blessed us richly. So, so very richly. Praise God. And so we go a little bit further here. We're just going through the story here this morning. And verse 11, and Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, that thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, you know, the devil doesn't give up. I've already said that, but he doesn't give up easily. And he said unto him, come, I pray thee unto me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them, and thou shalt see but the utmost part of them. Thou shalt not see them all. Come, curse me from thence. And so he took him, and they built the altars. You know, they were acting spiritual and all that. Let's see what the Lord has to say. And he took him to a place, and he said, I'm not going to let you see the whole camp of Israel, but I'm going to divide it up and let you see a little part right over here. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to let you see one little part over here. And so the devil, the enemy, will come along, and in the desire to curse the people of God, he's going to show you this group right over here. These folks are not living for God.
Yeah.
These folks are not doing right. And I'll tell you, I'm talking to us here this morning because I feel like the Lord gave this to me here today. Amen. These are ones over here, they deserve to be cursed. Oh God, help us. I'm thankful that nobody prayed that prayer over me.
Right.
when I was in need. Amen. When I was down and out. You know, the righteous shall fall seven times, but it does not say in there that we are to curse them seven times. We're supposed to help them and build them up. You that are spiritual, amen, restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. We could be in that same situation. And usually when the enemy comes along and tries to divide it up and say, look at this group over here, it's not even the truth anyway, because the devil can't tell the truth. He's a liar from the very beginning. And verse 13, Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me to another place, and curse me from there. Verse 14, he brought him into the field, and he said in verse 15 unto Balak, stand here by the burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth, and he said, go back and say to him thus and thus. And when he came to him, he stood by his burnt offering. And Balak said, what did the Lord say? Verse 18, he took up the parable and he said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment. Now he got a hold of it that it was a command. Amen. I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. You know who the king was. They didn't have any king at that time, but God was their king. The shout of a king. Praise God. And I love it when we come to church and we shout and we praise God. The king is here. Praise God. Everything's going to be all right because the king is here. God brought them out of Egypt, as it were, with the strength of a unicorn. I used to think that a unicorn was a horse with a... You know, that's what they call it. But the unicorn is actually a rhinoceros with the horn, the unicorn. And his strength is in his belly, praise God. And he's strong and he can flip a car over. He's got power. You don't want to mess with the unicorn, because he can get really mad and he can charge you and there's nothing you can do about it. Alligators can attack him, but it doesn't matter to him. Elephants can attack him, but it doesn't matter. Lions can attack him, but it doesn't matter to him. Because he's the king. He's the unicorn. The strength of the unicorn. If you can look at the church as a big, gigantic rhinoceros, amen, and the devil is just little dogs yapping at his feet, amen. We're just going to keep on moving on. We're just going to keep right on going forward in Jesus' name. Praise God. Verse 23, there's no enchantment in Israel, neither is there divination in Israel, according to this time. He said unto Jacob and Israel, what God hath wrought, what God hath wrought, exclamation point. Got to read the whole thing. Brother Charlie, what God hath wrought. What God hath wrought. We started out simple, but look at where we are today. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey. That's the ones that's going to win right there. And drink the blood of the slain. And Balak was really upset about this time. And here's another tactic of the enemy. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Praise God. So if you can't, if the devil can't get you to curse, he wants you to just shut up. Don't say anything. Don't curse and don't bless. And there's something to be learned in that. Amen. We have been given a commandment to bless.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And so, verse 26. I want to make sure I'm in the right spot here. Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told thee not all that the Lord speaketh unto me, that must I do. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee up to another place. Peradventure, it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build 7 altars, so forth. Chapter 24. And we're going to finish here shortly. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Folks, that's what we need more than anything. The Spirit of God to move upon us. The Spirit of God did not move upon him until he refused to curse these many times. And he took up a parable and said to Balaam, the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open and said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened, listened to what he said. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Praise God. Anybody feel what I feel here this morning? How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, and the gardens by the riverside, and the trees of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. Amen. That's what we can do to the devil. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Don't get the church stirred up. Amen. You're in real trouble there. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether these 3 times blessed them. Therefore now flee to thy place. I thought to promote thee to great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. What a liar he was. And as he began to preach, and as he began to see, verse 17, he said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. You know who he was talking about right there? The star of Jacob is Jesus Christ. He started prophesying about the coming of the Lord, events that were going to take place. Well, praise God. Amen. We need a move of the Spirit of God among us. And it's not going to happen just because we dance and run the aisles. It's not going to happen just because we pray. It's not going to happen just because we prophesy. But it's going to happen when we start to bless. Well, praise God when we start to bless. And I printed out a scripture that I want to read this morning so I don't have to turn to it. James chapter 3. And you can read the whole chapter when you get home. But he said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and doeth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works of meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom of cursing, it is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every work. But the wisdom that is from above, do you want the wisdom that's from above this morning? It's first pure, everybody said pure.
Pure.
Then peaceable, everybody said peaceable.
Peaceable.
And gentle.
Gentle.
Easy to be entreated. Come on. Full of mercy.
Full of mercy.
And good fruits.
Good fruits.
Without partiality.
Without
and without hypocrisy.
Without
praise God.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We need to be peacemakers, if at all possible. Sometimes it's not possible. As much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes it's not possible, but most of the time, it's possible. Let's stand together this morning. Well, praise God. Turn to your neighbor, look at him, say, I love you. Brother Tucker, I love you.
Amen.
He heard me. He has a hard time hearing a lot of other things, but when you tell him that you love him, he hears that. Praise God. Sister Glenda, I love you. Brother Charlie, I appreciate you. He appreciates that. Praise God. Mary and Zoe, we love you. I love you. Amen. Mike and Sarah, I love you. God bless all of you here this morning. Only the Lord knows the day and the hour. But one of these days we're going to pass from the scene. I've been to a couple of funerals lately, one yesterday, and I was looking around at all my young cousins, and we used to run together and do all kinds of things together, and they've got gray hair, and their ears are getting big. Praise the Lord. And I had to go in and look in the mirror and say, is that what I look like? And I found out the truth, praise God. That we're all just here for a short season. Jesus said, what you mete out is what's going to be meted back to you. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and look in the mirror and see cursing. I want to be able to say, I blessed. It may not have been received. Nobody may have even acknowledged that I did it. But I'm not doing it because I want something in return. I'm doing it because I want to please God. And more than that, because He has blessed me. He has blessed me. And so I need to take what I have received freely and give it away. Lord, we thank you this morning. I thank you this morning for the great blessings that you poured out abundantly you poured out your blessings upon us. We lean on you this morning. Lord, we're fragile. God, we fall many times. We have to have your mercy. We need your mercy more than anything. But God, help us not to just be recipients of your mercy, but help us to have mercy on others and to love others, especially those that are our enemies. Help us to love them and to pray for them and to do good to them as you have told us in your word. Lord, it's hard, and forgive us when we fail, but God, help us to become what you want us to be. In Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Sarah, do you have a chorus we could sing before we leave this morning?